say, ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of here. That's right. DJ DW Metro 91.5. My girl Emily's here. And Kylie? Kylie's coming. You know, right here at MFO, we make our own hours. I'll tell you that right. This is a great deal. So she's going to come up. What are you going to play, honey? You want to jump on me quick? She's nervous. How do you like that? All right. Hey, DJ DWMFO 91.5 Dance Music Express Music Series. I'll catch you next week. Love y'all. Take care.
Maybe I just had enough for myself the way I am. changing, I'm changing, I'm changing. And baby, are you, you've been so understanding. And how can I try to tell you all that you've been for me? I need you. Just wait up for me.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to 91.5 FM Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. This is Emily. I'm subbing for the three DJs of something I can't pronounce. And so today we are just going to play some music, some good music. My friend Kylie is about to come into the studio. And so just enjoy. We might talk more when she comes in. But just in the meantime, enjoy some of these tunes.
Stay together and I'm cool with that. Why can't we always be this way? Why drink it up to OH. Tu prends mon cœur, je te protège. Dans cette vie, même os, yeah. Tire marks and gun smoke, I'm always around. The weight of that statement is weighing me down. Yeah, I'm rolling out this California bed with broken wings. And if mama knew her angel was a devil, then
cause you
got
me like, ooh.
So we are here. Wait, let me just turn on your mic first. So,
right on air.
Right on there. All right. So, will you introduce on the air who you are?
My name's Kylie Pratt. I'm a guest DJing here today.
Yeah, very
on
exciting.
The show. And what's the name of the show?
So we are subbing for this show right now. I'm really not sure. I'm not a regular listener, unfortunately.
Okay.
But the show is called The Three DJs of. It's spelled Y P S I L A N T I. I feel like it might be an inverse? I don't know. One of those like special words, if that makes sense.
Okay. But three DJs. Okay, so there's two of us today.
Yeah, so unfortunately only two DJs.
I think we can make up for it.
I think we can make up for it, too.
I think we make it work. Absolutely.
Definitely. Oh, man. So, Kylie, I'd love to hear about... So you're actually quite a musician, which I've only really learned over time. So Kylie and I have been friends since our freshman year. Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, the story of our friendship is... quite wholesome.
It's a great story.
So yeah. Basically, please fill in any gaps that I might miss. So we were friends because this was like maybe a week or two into school, and we both did a semester year program before we started at Tufts. Kylie did it during her senior year of high school, but I did it during a gap year between high school and college. And I saw her wearing the shirt of the program in DeWick, our dining hall at the salad bar. I very vividly remember. Mm-hmm. And I just came, and you know, it's like second week of school. I was frankly desperate for friends.
Yes. Yeah, as we all were second week of school.
Yeah.
I think everyone's kind of looking out for any sort of connection.
Yeah, exactly. And so I came up to her and was like, did you do the program? And then I had lunch with her and her lovely roommate at the time, Sasha. Mm-hmm. And I remember, frankly, I was like, that was really lovely, but I also just don't know who my friends were going to be at that point. And then I think we just like stayed in touch and we're like, let's just grab lunch next week. And then we were at a big round table with a
prospective student. I was just going to say, I think that was really when we really, I was like, oh, I think they asked us what Tufts was like.
Yeah.
And we were both like, this is great, but also, you know, there's it's a little like scary and lonely, and I think that was the first time I'd really talked to someone about that.
I think that was for me the first time I talked to someone about that too. So it was like, I feel like since then we just have been like tied, because I think you were the first person that I had like really more vulnerably opened up to at Tufts.
And also, I mean, there were the goat cheese and the figs bread.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we love the... Wait, what is that? What is the
Mediterranean fig burger? Is that what it is?
Yes. The Mediterranean fig burger.
Shout out to the Duick Mediterranean fig burger. bringing us closer together.
Yes, I know. And that's actually been pretty iconic through our friendship since, because like sophomore year especially, we would make our lunch date around the Mediterranean.
Because you got to save those dining hall swipes. You know, you can't just be swiping in.
Exactly.
Everywhere.
Exactly. Oh. Yeah, so that's kind of the origin story of our friendship, mm-hmm. which is quite lovely. I love telling people that story.
Me too.
Yeah, but I want to hear about you as a musician, what your like music history, because I feel like you're actually quite extensive in what you've done.
maybe not me necessarily, but my sort of ties to music go back to, I mean, my dad was in a bluegrass band in
still
college.
Still is, sort of.
Still is, yeah. He's working on, he's in between bands, so he's, oh he's floating a little bit right now. But he's a big mandolin player, so you know, we always had practices around the house. We grew up listening to a lot of bluegrass music.
Yeah.
And so that was really a big part of my childhood, was growing up listening to a lot of acoustic music. There was a strong acoustic electric rivalry, sort of, because bluegrass is very anti-electric, sort of. So I listened to a lot of sort of Dixie Chicks, Allison Krauss, Union Station, and then grew up a little bit. And started playing. I played violin for a few years, played guitar for a few years, played recorder actually for 4 years.
Extensive
recorder.
That is an extensive. I feel like the context in which I've heard about recorders is like, not to diminish the recorder's, you know, capacity, but it's like the, you know, primary school learning, like hot cross buns.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm really impressed you went beyond that level.
You blow a little too loud and like blow out everyone's eardrums, and then the teacher gives you a stick to hold. Yeah, that's basically, it's basically most people. But I picked it up over this last winter break and could still play a few things. My teacher had a harp, so we'd travel around and do the recorder folk harp duo for a little bit, which was kind of fun.
Wait, so what would you play?
We did a lot of Irish trad stuff. So there was one, the Swallowtail Jig, that my dad is always like, play the Swallowtail Jig. So I could just kind of pull that one out. The first time I watched Titanic, I got really into playing the Titanic theme song over and over.
The Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just the intro.
Oh, yeah. Wait, is the intro on the recording a recorder?
I think it's a tin whistle, but like very similar. Yeah, wow. It could be a recorder though. It sounds really similar.
Yeah, now that I'm playing it in my head.
There's. I feel like many people have sort of gone that route with the recorder. Like, it was definitely not the first, but I was like, oh, this is so beautiful. So that was definitely a cool thing.
Wow.
But yeah, so like a lot of Irish sort of traditional music, I think, on recorder and harp stuff, and then picked up the guitar, in like seventh grade or something. I think it was a sixth grade graduation present. I've been playing ever since.
I love it. Wow. So listeners, you have an acclaimed artist here on the radio with you.
Ah. Man, I wouldn't quite call it that, but there's a small fun thing is that I spent my spring semester last semester abroad in France, and just kind of walked into this Irish bar one night, and there was a bunch of people playing music, and my dad had always told me, you know, if someone's playing music, you can just walk up and be like, oh, do you need another player, you need another this person. So I just walked up, and from then on every Tuesday nights I'd play guitar and sing in this little Irish pub in France.
Oh my gosh.
So somewhere out there.
It was in your town? It was in Nantes?
It was in Nantes, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So somewhere, not John McBurn. I forget the name. Somewhere out there. Small Irish pub where they might not look completely confused if you ask about it.
Wow. I love it. Cool. So we should get back to playing some tunes. So earlier we were playing, Charlie Berg's Fever first. Charlie Berg's a great artist. He actually is like a senior at Syracuse. So, so he's still in school, but like releasing a ton of great music. So,
that's so impressive.
I definitely recommend checking him out. And then the second song was by this band called Shade from DC. You can tell I'm really into looking up the artists I listen to.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And yeah, they're actually coming to Alston in a few weeks in late February. And the reason I found out about them was because their song Trampoline was on this MacBook Pro commercial, and it kept on coming up on my YouTube. I was like, this song is hella catchy.
Good marketing.
So yeah, so but they actually have good music. So
are you going to see them?
I'm not sure. I haven't gone to a concert by myself before, but I feel like I've been kind of scared to do it, but I feel like I want to do it. Yeah. I feel like if you're kind of scared of something, maybe you should, you know, explore that a bit more. But yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of considering it because it's at a cool like local venue in Alston called Great Scott.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good one to check out.
Yeah.
Too. Smaller, not necessarily like big stadium.
Yeah.
Sort of vibes.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. Yeah. So I feel like it's pretty, like we do have to play this one particular artist that we both have fallen head over heels in love with. I think me more so than Kylie.
I think you have a special affinity deep in your heart for this artist. Yeah. I definitely think she's an incredible musician and performer.
Yeah. So the lovely lady we're talking about is Maggie Rogers. Kylie and I saw her at Royale in October. And it's amazing because we only, like, the tickets weren't too pricey to go see her, and like now she's just exploded, and now like my friend was saying, oh, let's go to New York, and it's like $250.
Is it really?
Yeah. And I'm like, we literally just saw her 2 months ago,
and I think we saw her the Monday after she performed on SNL.
yeah, exactly.
So that was sort of like when
everything. Go on.
All right. So that was just the lovely Maggie Rogers, Falling Water. So everyone should definitely go listen to or watch the music video for it, because the music video is just like absolutely stunning. It's just like her in a desert. So I was just talking to Kelly about this. I thought that it was an improvisational dance the whole time, but it is choreographed, which makes sense. It's like a music video.
Right.
And it's just like I was taking this class called Dance Movement Creative Process last semester. Mm-hmm. And it totally reminded me of that. Just like, I felt like the music was just like running through her body, and it was so visceral and so like random and in the best way possible.
Right.
So it was great.
Yeah, no, it's funny because, and I was saying, you know, I wonder if she like watched her dance a little bit before and then choreographed it to it. But it's also, I think it takes a special kind of choreography to like have that sort of spontaneity as well. And like when we saw her live, it really did feel like she was just dancing as the music flowed through her. So
yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Cool. Kylie, so what do you think you're going to play next for us?
Yeah. So this is a band that this is a band that my sister is really into. And there's a funny story about this because so recently they played at a bluegrass festival down in lower bit of Vermont. Mm. It was sort of a smaller festival, and my sister and my dad and her boyfriend went. Mm. And so later that night, they got tired. My dad likes to stay up really late and play at these things, so he was going to stay up. And they had acoustic session with some of the artists.
Wow.
And so she was like, okay, if Mandolin Orange is there, call me, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Let me know if they're playing this acoustic session. So they go to sleep. He goes to this place, and not only is it not a session, it's like a watching session. It's a jam session. So they're sitting in a circle.
Oh my God.
With Mandolin Orange. I can't remember. There was some other. I think Pete Sutherland might have been there, and maybe I don't think Jerry Douglas was there. But you know, like very, great bluegrass musicians.
Dang.
And so my dad, instead of calling her over, takes a video with the guy from Mandolin Orange saying, "Hey Morgan, you should have stayed up," and decides it would be a good idea to show it to her the next morning.
Oh my God.
So that's the backstory. She just went and saw them down in West Virginia. So they're playing, they're touring right now.
That is hilarious. Oh my God. I love how that's like your dad's instinctive reaction. He probably was really excited too.
Just to say hi. Yeah. I think it was nice because he could sort of transfer her excitement. It was what he knew would have been more than his own. So he was able to like get over his initial, mm-hmm. Do I ask him to do this? By being like, this is going to be great.
Yeah. Have you ever, I wonder about that, have you met like any musicians like in person that you've like really admired from afar that you've actually had a conversation?
Well, when we went to see I'm With Her.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And we saw Sarah Watkins as part of that. Sarah Jarreau, mm-hmm. Sarah Watkins, and Afi O'Donovan.
O'Donovan, yeah.
And Sarah Watkins has been someone that I've been listening to for a really long time with Nickel Creek when
they've
she was
been around for
young.
So long. Yeah,
yeah. She started when they were like six or something. So she played with her brother and Chris Teeley. And so I was watching her, and you know, we were all like pretty starstruck. And then they had this little signed shirts meet and greet thing. And I walked over and I was like, I can't believe you can play violin in shoes like that. Because she was wearing this giant platform sneakers. Like, this is someone who's been playing violin since she's like 5 years old. She could probably play it like upside down and backwards. Yeah. And I'm like, there's the shoes, you know. It was complete. Well, I walked out. Man. I was like, oh no.
They were so gentle. I remember when because I think I was the first one to get my shirt signed, because y'all were like, so we went with two of our other friends, and you guys were all like huge, huge fans, and I was like, I a fan too, but like I think not as worked up, and right. So yeah, but they were just so like nice and very like, oh, did you enjoy it? And like, yeah, and it just stuck out to me so much because they're all really incredible famous musicians, but like we went to see this concert in the State Theater in Portland, Maine,
right?
And it was just great to go to a concert in like a not major city, mm-hmm. like with a great band.
Oh man, some Portland fans.
Oh wow. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh dang. Wow. Okay.
I would agree. I know what you mean. And it was fun to see sort of the following that they had there.
Yeah.
And, yeah. How that smaller venue was, it felt definitely more intimate.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah. I'll play one of them, and then we can get back to Mandolin Orange.
Okay, yes. Yeah, I would love to hear Mandolin Orange, too, because I don't think I know them, so yeah. That would be great.
Well, we can revisit that, but since we're on this is...
Yeah.
I forgot about this song, but this is one of my favorites from I'm With Her.
Which one is it?
It's called Overland.
Great.
Goodbye, brother. Hello, railroad. So long, Chicago. All these years thought I was where I ought to be. But times are changing. This country is growing. And I'm bound for San Francisco. Well, I've lived through more. I've sold all that I could sell, finally leaving it behind. Goodbye, farewell. If it isn't one thing, then it's one thing more. If it isn't a fever that shows you the door, it's the air, or the water, or the goddamn war. Goodbye, brother. Hello, railroad. So long.
So that song was Overland by I'm With Her. Wait, so do you know much more about like the meaning of the song or like how it came about or
So I saw I think it was in their Tiny Desk NPR concert.
Oh,
yeah. So
okay.
they played that song. Or maybe it was even when they played it in Portland.
Okay. Yeah.
And they said they were dedicating it to all the people who just like working tirelessly day in, day out, like looking for something better, and who have the courage to sort of like uproot themselves and like travel to like look for something better.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what it is. It's like a sense of hopefulness moving forward, but also just an acknowledgement of how exhausting and like tiring that can be, and all that day in, day out kind of working.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I remember saying, I remember them saying that now.
Yeah. It's just a beautiful song too.
Yeah. The thing, I really appreciate their music, because I feel like I have, in the past 2 years, like, listened to a lot of, like, R&B and pop, and that's definitely my go-to music, which is great music as well, but it's been really nice to, like be introduced to, like, I'm With Her this past semester, and, like, mm-hmm. listen to these more, like, stripped down, like, not as much stuff with, like, production and, like,
right.
Yeah, it just feels very crisp and, like, clear in a different way.
Right. Like, they sound very similar live.
It's the same,
pretty much. which can be really cool with the more processed stuff, you know, how they sort of flip it on its head and make it its own thing in the acoustic version, those artists. But I do really love, like, the crispness of their music, and the harmonies are just beautiful.
So good. That reminds me so much of one of my other favorite Tiny Desk concerts from NPR is this band named Joseph. I feel like you might know them, actually. They have some bluegrass folk. Yeah, it's like three sisters, two twins and their older sister.
Oh, cool.
And their NPR Tiny Desk concert was stunning. Like just incredible harmonies, incredible, like, buildup of their harmonies. And it's just, like, you know, a guitar and, like, the three of them singing. Mm-hmm. And I think I just, like, randomly found their Tiny Desk concert, and then I tried listening to their Spotify, like, stuff, you know, release things, and, like, they just sound very different, 'cause I think they've gone more of the route of, like, using a lot of, like, production and, like, mixing and things like that. It just, like, sounds very different, and, like, so I think that's the value, really, that's, like, so cool about being able to see musicians live, like,
and it does seem like sort of sometimes people go into one sort of sound, and especially in sort of the what you hear on the radio, but then at the core of it, you know, I feel like if they're really, like, musicians that, like, love their sort of music, they definitely have their own way of doing it.
It's
really cool.
And also, speaking of concerts,
speaking of musicians
and concerts on the radio, Kyle and I were just talking about a concert that I went to last night at the House of Blues, which was, like, I went with a good friend of mine from high school. So we met when I was 13 and she was 14. So I guess that's been almost a decade now.
Wow.
And we went to go see the iconic teen idol Jesse McCartney at the House of Blues.
I still can't believe
that he's real, if that makes sense. You know, I was just listening to him through my iPod, like, from middle school.
And I feel like so much of what you know in middle school just turns out to be so wrong. It's, like, so fake that you're like, right, this is still, like, a real person.
Exactly. He was actually a great musician live, like his voice sounds the same. I mean, that's something that did strike me, though, which makes sense because, you know, he is, like, I think maybe 31 now, so, like,
he's 31.
I know.
I just picture him, like, forever 14, you know, like, forever this little teen idol. Like,
I know. Yeah, like, exactly.
Sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah. But it's just funny because his voice, when he was, like, speaking, you know, like, just talking at the concert, like, his voice did feel, like, a bit lower than I'd expected. Mm-hmm. But I think that's obviously just because, you know, he's, like, older now. So, like, so he's not. And when I was listening to some of the music this morning again, like, yeah, his voice is higher in the music, obviously, because it's from, like, 2005.
So, right. Did he change anything? Was there any song that he did that he did a new little spin on? Or any song
that's a good question. Not that I can really, like, think of that was, like, I mean, he did an acoustic medley of, like, a few of his, like, songs that were not, like, the top songs, but, like I was gonna say second tier. They're not second tier, but, you know, like, just, like, popular songs, but not as, like, top 100.
They're not Beautiful Soul.
They're just not Beautiful Soul. So he did, like, a medley of those with just, like, him and his guitarist. So that was really lovely. Cool. He did bring a girl on stage. Mm-hmm. Her name was Chanel, and, like, sang to her this, like, song about, like, I think, moving on and stuff like that. They had a very long hug at the end, and it was just very funny.
Chanel
and cute.
Is living my dream.
I was like, Chanel was probably, like, had so many emotions just pumping through her in those, like, 5 minutes.
Oh my gosh. Talk about, like, being awkward when meeting stars. Like, to have Jesse McCartney sing to you on stage.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's so funny. But one thing that was really lovely, though, like, so when he came out for his encore, the first song that he played was Bleeding Love by Leona Jonah Lewis.
Oh.
Because he wrote Bleeding Love.
He did.
He wrote Bleeding Love.
I did not know that.
I know, right? Wow. Yeah. Wow. So that was actually really cool to watch because, I mean, that song is also, like, I kind of categorize it, like, in that kind of middle school, high school. I guess that came out in middle school. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that. My music phase then, you know?
And right.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was like, wow, I forgot about this song. I like knew all the lyrics still.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny too because I feel like songs like that feel so personal.
Yeah.
And so Leona Lewis like really had this heartbreak and it's like, oh wait, that was Jesse McCartney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, might have been Jesse's heartbreak.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That's a really good point actually, like the whole like how so many songs are written by, like, they're not sung by the person that writes them, but we oftentimes just associate it with that person.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And, like, yeah, the singer is the one that often gets interviewed or, like, talked about or, yeah.
Right. It's funny. It would be cool to hear the whole story from, you know, both perspectives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. It was definitely a great way to kick off the semester, my last semester, by reminding myself of my past too.
A little bit of nostalgia for senior year.
Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we'll play. I feel like we just gotta play the famous one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just go for it.
Just go for it. All right. Okay, here we go. This is Beautiful Soul by Jesse McCartney.
Another pretty face. I don't want just anyone to hold. I don't want my love to go to waste. I want you and your beautiful soul. I know that you are something special to you. I'd be always faithful.
right. So, what was that song again, Kylie?
And that song was Hey Stranger by Mandolin Orange.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's so lovely.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Wait, can you tell, do you know stuff about, like, the background of the band?
Not much, actually. It's a man and a woman, and I don't think that they're romantically together. Mm-hmm. But I'm not entirely sure much more beyond that.
Cool.
They have some really cool concerts online too, some more live
and
stuff.
It's just the two of them.
Yeah, it's just the two of them. Yeah, I think they might have some other people that they've added on or subtracted at different parts in the band's career, but it's kind of been core them, and they're still, I think they have a pretty good following, but they're still sort of coming up. It's still relatively easy to see them in smaller venues and inexpensively. So that's a great one to check out.
Yeah. That reminds me, I saw this Twitter thread the other day that was like, what musicians or concerts did you see before they like became big? Or like, you know, who did you know before they became big? And it was actually really funny because I was surprised to see this, but most of the responses were actually from, I think, older people that were talking about like Van Halen or like other very classic older American bands. Right. So I was like, whoa, they're, I guess I expected like more like, I don't know, like more current or
recent
like
stuff.
Yeah, more recent stuff. So one thing I did, I think you'll enjoy this, was it was like this woman that was like, she booked Lin-Manuel Miranda and like two other people at this like, you know, bar, like this like, you know, poetry club bar, like that was not very popular in New York or something. And she like convinced the like main person that was booking stuff at that venue to like bring them on. And then he was like, oh, I'm not really sure about them. Like, they don't really like, you know, they don't have much of a following, whatever. And she was like, trust me.
You want this guy.
Yeah. I think this was, she said it was back in like 07 or 08 maybe. Right. Or maybe, I don't, when was In the Heights?
I think it won a Tony in... Oh man, because he's been working on Hamilton for like 10 years.
Okay, so maybe then it was early 2000s.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Before.
Yeah, but
that's so funny. Yeah, my housemate the other day was watching The Sopranos, and he has a tiny, tiny cameo in The Sopranos.
What?
He walks past the car at some point or something.
Oh my god! Yeah, what year was this then?
It was right after In the Heights, so you know he's kind of on the up and up. But yeah,
that's so
just
funny.
Very random.
Yeah, I mean this is so different, but it just reminds me of like Ariana Grande was in that Nickelodeon show.
Oh my gosh, Victorious.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the whole spinoff with Sam from iCarly.
Oh my god. Oh wow.
That was speaking of bringing back middle school memories.
Wow. I have not thought about iCarly in so long.
Someone once told me I looked like Jeanette McCurdy when I was like 12, and I seriously considered dyeing my hair blonde for like 2 months because of it.
Wow. Wait, I've never seen you with bangs. I feel like...
Oh, man. Have I told you my bang story?
No, okay. Please tell the bang story.
So the bang story is... So I walked into it. I go to France. My mom's like, hey. I was talking to her on the phone.
This was last year?
This was last year. Okay, very recent. Okay. Well, I had bangs when I was little. And they're, you know, cute, whatever little kids can get away with. Like, haircut. But I walked into this hair salon in France. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get bangs. They'll be grown out by the time I get back. It'll be a cool, you know, little 3-month.
Yeah, totally.
And I walk in and I ask the guy, I'm like, will you cut my hair? Will you give me bangs? Uh-huh. And he was like, your hair wouldn't look good with bangs. And I was like, okay, yeah, but also like, I kind of want to try it. You know, it's
yeah.
He was like, I'm not going to do that to you. Your hair wouldn't look good. Refused to cut my hair.
You were like, you're basically like, take my money.
Exactly. And I was like, I know your professional opinion is that it would not look good, but my curiosity is that I really want to see myself with bangs. And he didn't. He wouldn't do it. So I did not get bangs. And a year later, I'm very thankful to that Frenchman.
Wow. Bangs feel like such a big thing for like, I don't know. I remember I think got bangs at the beginning of my sophomore year of high school. I found old photos of my mom's phone over break.
Need to see this. Absolutely.
And like, they're very like emo, like long bangs, like that sweep
into your eyes.
Oh like, my god!
You think it's cool when half of your vision is cut out?
No, I don't even think of myself as that kind of person, but I guess I was or I am at that point. So
closer reflection.
Yeah. So
Yeah, it's just funny. But I don't really remember very much really beyond that, like how I felt with bangs or whatever. Right. But I've actually had like bang curiosity for a little bit. Yeah, I remember actually last year too. I think I was like, I want to do it.
Is it coming back? Is this
a little bit? But like, yeah, I think that I kind of get in these like phases of like wanting to do something different with my hair because I've always kind of had the same hair and I cut my own hair now because my hair is very easy to like. Work with, so it's just pretty simple. It doesn't like, I think with probably like curlier, wavier hair, it's just like higher maintenance with cutting, or like you just have to have.
Yeah, I think I would look. Something would happen. I would end up all uneven if I tried to cut mine. But
yeah, but I don't know. I'm like kind of craving doing something different.
Ooh, but I see it.
I know.
I think we could find something.
Yeah.
Do a spring semester bang.
Yeah. Look. A spring bang.
Going out with a bang.
Going out with a bang.
In every sense of the word.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Hair updates on the next time you listen to Emily and Kylie on the radio.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep you all posted.
We'll keep you posted if you happen to come on our show again, because we're subbing right now. So
we right. If you're a regular listener at this time, you may never know.
You may never know what happens with my hair. Cool. Okay, so I think we have time for one more song. So do you have anything that you feel
inclined? If you have something queued up.
All right. I might just... What am I feeling, actually? Okay. I'll play this song. So my friend Jade that I went to the concert with, to the Jesse McCartney concert with, and we were wondering who is the Jesse McCartney of now. So I posted this on my Instagram, and basically everyone's response was the same, which I actually proposed to Jade, but she didn't know who this was. Shawn Mendes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, undeniable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She didn't know Shawn Mendes?
She didn't know who Shawn Mendes was.
Oh, man. Okay.
In Jade's defense, she is... born in 1994, so she's a bit older.
Okay.
But then again, that's not that old.
A little farther into the millennial section there.
Yeah. Incrementally. Yeah. So there's a song by Shawn Mendes that I listened to. Yeah. I found like just last week, just like listening to this album. I like it a lot. It's very Ed Sheeran vibes.
Oh, let's hear it.
This is Fallen All in You by Shawn Mendes.
Sunrise with you on my chest, no blinds in the place where I live. Daybreak, open your eyes, cause this was only ever meant to be for one night. Still, we're changing our minds here. Be yours, be my dear. So close with you on my lips, touch noses, feeling your breath. Push your heart and pull away. Yeah, be my summer in a winter day, love. I can't see one thing wrong between the both of us. Be mine, yeah. Anytime, anytime. Ooh, you know I've been alone for quite a while, haven't I? I thought I knew it all. Found love, but I was wrong. More times than enough. But since you came along, I'm thinking, baby, you are bringing out a different kind of me. There's no safety, nothing's underneath. I'm free, falling all in you. Far from me, who, what, how they appear, yeah. Trapped up on a tightrope. Years, yeah, grown up in the place that we live, make love, then we fight, laugh, cause it was only meant to be for one night, baby. I guess we can't control what's just not up to us. Be mine, be mine.